Yes.
Yes, baby.
Another episode, Coffee and Cash Flow, buddy. With Stephen and Anthony. But guess what? The movers have come, Anthony.
Yes, they have. They moved us.
They moved us.
Went somewhere nice. It's really nice out here.
Very, very nice.
Yes.
Very, very nice. Shout out to Mario. But we have a new home at Coffee and Cash Flow. We are now on WRHI Radio. AM, 1340 AM. We are
South Kakalaki.
South Kakalaki. Anthony, it's really, really good to be in a home of nothing but awards.
Yeah.
An award-winning station. I mean, they got awards everywhere.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I've never seen so many awards. I mean, since 1944. That's older than my dad, okay?
Right. Right. I mean, if you could find an award, if there was an award for the station, they'd have to make up another one for the ones that they already have.
Exactly.
Because they won everything. We're talking about 8 times an award-winning station. And so it's just great to be in a new home. And we appreciate all of our, you know, all of our loyal listeners that's been following Coffee and Cash Flow for the number of years. We appreciate you guys coming back and following us where we've been moved to. Right, Anthony?
Yeah, absolutely.
And for all the new folks listening, you know, we appreciate you tuning in today. You know, we are a retirement show, but we talk about things that affect all of us or just interesting story topics. And so we typically will have what we call the Midday Cup, maybe the Morning Cup next year, but we're going to call it the Midday Cup. And as always, Anthony, my cup.
Run it over. That's right.
Hey, we miss Key Audrey Key. Hey, we with you, brother, and take your time to be your comeback. We love you as always, and we love the family, and we support you. And just want you to know that we are here for you. Key is our resident real estate expert, so he'll be bringing some real estate tips and how that also can impact your retirement. And, you know, and I think that's an important thing, Anthony, is to make sure that we acknowledge our brethren and that we're here in a place where we have a new home.
Exactly. So I think we could start off, too, you know, by basically introducing who we are.
Right.
So, you know, I can start off, and then you know, Stephen puts together this great show. And, guys, we're really, really excited to be back on the air and out in this new audience. So my name is Anthony Skinner. I've been service provider. Or right. Providing consultation for what, almost 10 years now. I've been licensed, insurance, health and life, and, you know, very excited. I'm actually got a lot of more accolades that I could say, but I would rather keep it basic for this show. We're going to have fun. This show is going to be fun. You're going to have a good time, but you're going to learn something, and that's the important thing for me, is teaching people about finances. Stephen, you go ahead.
No, absolutely. I think I'm Stephen Crawford. And so we are, you know, we've been doing this for a while. I've been in the industry for 21 years. I'm a best-selling author, wrote a book called The Success Formula with the mighty, mighty, mighty Jack Canfield of Chicken Soup for the Soul series.
That's right. I like seeing his picture on that book.
Right? Jack's smooth, too. Somebody looked at it and said, which one of you guys, the handsome guys, are you? I said, well, I'm the younger one.
Exactly.
And I got less money than Jack. Let's just put it that way. So Jack has sold millions, hundreds of millions of books worldwide. And so I was blessed to be selected, Anthony. I got selected to be the only financial planner that was in that book, and it's a best-selling book back in 2019 on Amazon. So very, very excited about that. In addition to being a certified financial fiduciary, which is a little bit different than just saying you're a fiduciary, Anthony, you actually have to go take a test, sit in a classroom, and a certified financial fiduciary is supposed to do what's in the best interest of his or her clients. And so we offer various different options in terms of that, whether it's traditional insurance, life and health, or, you know, annuities and all these other things. And then we partner with folks that we make sure that can do, I call it the Wall Street way.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
and
yes.
So we make sure that we're able to take care of folks. And so I've won some other awards. We won't go too long into that. I've got a big award I won from the CEO of Forbes. Seems like 2019 was a really good year for me.
I got pre-COVID.
Right. I got a big award from the CEO of Forbes for another article that I wrote talking about what they're not telling us about retirement, and that was Taxes are coming.
Oh, yes.
Taxes are coming.
And
taxes are coming.
Taxes are coming.
Taxes are coming. And I think that's part of what we'll talk about as you guys start to follow the show, that we'll talk about some of the things that a lot of advisors are not really talking about.
Yeah.
Right? They're not talking about, you can go to someone always talking about wealth accumulation, wealth accumulation, wealth accumulation. But what happens when the magic stops?
Exactly.
Right? What happens if we have another 2001?
Oh, boy.
What happens if we have another 2008? Right?
That's right. See, that's when I actually made my first million in 2005, right?
Right.
And 2007. 2005 is when I started the business.
Mm-hmm.
2007. Then everything just started to collapse in 2000. So when you talk about rebuilding, just putting everything back together, 2008 was something else.
And a lot of folks don't realize, and we'll get to that in future shows, of the impact that, you know, a crash can have on your retirement, especially as you are trying to get nearer and nearer to retirement. I call it the rule of 100. We'll talk about that in a little bit of detail in our segment. So we have segments, folks, that we go into, and this one, what we call the Midday Cup. We like to look at, you know, things that are happening across the country, you know.
Yes.
Not necessarily retirement related, but just interesting.
What's in the news?
What's in the news, right? And so I was looking at, as I tend to do, Anthony, and looking at different subjects, and I heard something I thought was interesting, and it was about Don Lemon.
The
lemon guy.
Okay.
Right?
But I think you got to pronounce Lemon.
Lemon?
Lemon. You can't. It's not lemon. It's Lemon. Okay?
Well, somebody's awful sour.
Like that.
About
no pun intended.
Right? Somebody's awful sour. And apparently, the gentleman's name is Jesse. If you guys remember, I think it's Jesse Smollett. I'm going to call him Juicy.
Juicy
Smollett, in the words of David Chappelle.
Okay.
Juicy Smollett. So apparently, if you guys remember the story of Juicy Smollett saying he was attacked in Chicago, Illinois, I believe it was, at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning in Chicago going to a subway. He was hungry.
Yeah.
But he happened to be in Chicago at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning looking for a subway, right? Not something, a train transit he could get on and ride. He wanted to go and get him a walk to a subway.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, Juicy Smollett decides that somebody wearing MAGA hats supposedly attacked him and painted on him, or they did something. I don't know if you remember the total story.
Yeah, and put a noose around his neck. I do remember him and saying, you know, some disparaging things we won't repeat on the radio. But, yeah, you know, this is MAGA country.
Right, right. And I thought, and that's what they said, it's MAGA country. And I just thought that was very interesting that in Chicago, 1 o'clock in the morning.
A mega country in Chicago.
In Chicago.
Okay.
Right, that he would be somehow attacked. Now, Juicy Smollett has made a little bit of money from being on Empire. And you would think that most likely Juicy Smollett would be in a fairly nice area of Chicago, you would think,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but out of nowhere, out of the bushes.
Do they have bushes in downtown Chicago? I don't know. I've been down there since they jumped out the river.
But I don't know. I think the only thing that lurks out in Chicago at 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the morning is the wind, you know, and maybe
it's cold, too.
It's very cold. So I'm not saying that other things can't happen, but allegedly he claims that he was attacked. So allegedly, Don Lemon, supposedly tipped him off that he was going to be investigated by the police. So now there have been calls to squeeze the lemon from his employment.
Okay.
Anthony, what do you think about this turn of events and this lemonhead situation?
Well, you know, it's honestly, you know, the problem here is news has become very, very one-sided, and that's the problem today. You know, I really feel the problem shows just a degradation in where people are getting their news from, who they're getting it from. Are they putting in their two cents? You as a reporter, as a journalist, you know, Don Lemon, are supposed to be reporting the news, not calling the perpetrators and telling them what's going on. You know, if he pulled up the investigation and he said, I found this and police are investigating this and this and this, it's not your job to call that person. So, you know, I think this, too, is bringing up the situation where, you know, of course, his partner in crime, Chris Cuomo, just got fired from CNN. See, CNN is falling apart, and it's falling apart at the seams because you could only keep a lie for so long, and then it comes back to you. So you could only be so facetious and then the same people you think that you're building up that trust with will be the same people who cut you down.
That's right.
You okay? So for me, you know, again, getting up at that early in the morning, somebody jumping out and putting a noose around you with red hats, which you can see. And by the way, he did say that they were light-skinned. And I looked at those brothers. I'm like, hey, they're not light-skinned.
No.
And nowhere close.
No.
And, you know, having a red hat in the middle of Chicago's calling MAGA. This is MAGA country. And putting a noose around. I'm like, these guys went through a whole lot.
Well, so, it's hard to believe. It's very, very hard to believe. And they're basically saying that I read an article and it was saying that the CNN anchor is facing ethical questions after it was claimed in court. This is Jesse, or Juicy Smollett, as I'm going to call him, actually testified that it was Don Lemon that sent him a message informing him that the Chicago Police Department did not believe his account of what happened on the night in question.
Mm.
So was he looking out for his, and this is not about, you know, sexual preference or anything of that nature, but was this a matter of, you know, Don Lemon, I believe, is a known homosexual.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah, there is a big difference between homophobic and homosexual. And, you know, Juicy Smollett is also known to be a homosexual male. I don't know if they've had any sort of hangouts or encounters or anything of that nature, and I'm not sure. But I think that there is a ethical issue that Don Lemon would notify him that an investigation was happening.
Well, I guess, you know, a lot of these things, and this cancel culture today, right? A lot of these things are more ethical questions than they are actual crimes committed, right? People are losing their jobs. They're doing different things because more so of, does it fit my, you know, does that square peg fit in this round hole.
Right.
And so it's everything today, even Chris Cuomo getting fired again. That's his brother.
Mm.
So, you know, for me, it's like, and I think Tucker had a really good opinion on that. He said, you know, of all the things that Chris Cuomo has done, he gets fired for the one thing that a brother should do, which is cover for your brother, right?
Am I my brother's keeper?
He's his brother's keeper. That's his brother. So, again, wrong or right, you know, again, he was covering for his brother. But the problem is that this, the problem with journalism today, it's not journalism anymore. It has become so much of an opinion-based thing that people will find themselves in these ethical questions. I don't care who they are.
Well, everybody's a journalist today. I mean, think about it. With social media being so popular today, everybody can pick up their phone and just say, this is what I saw. This is what I reported.
That's
right?
It.
So there's no, you know, as former president, you know, Donald Trump would say, fake news. Right?
What's absolutely.
What's the real news? Like, what are we getting nowadays? Because we've seen with this pandemic, you know, there's certain news is not being offered or not being available. Let's put it that way. Right. There's
yes.
a lot of censorship happening in this country that's supposed to be the freest country in the world. But if you disagree, we're going to censor you. Right. And that's a whole nother conversation. And it will come up in another show. I guarantee you.
Yes,
that.
It will.
But it says here that I was reading this is before we get ready to take a break. It says if in case that Lemon did indeed send such a message to Smollett, to Juicy, legal experts have shared that it wouldn't indicate any illegal activity on a newsman's part, though that there could be other questions.
Yes. Right. And you know, just before we jump off of that, because, you know, people are probably wondering, too, like, how does this have to do with finances? And you, when we come back, I think what we're going to see is that this has actually changed. All of this racial stuff has really changed the financial outlook of how people look at the system, the government. So Jussie Smollett was taking advantage of a publicly known issue with George Floyd and all this other stuff. So at that moment in time, he was looking at doing this as a, what do you call it, a PR type of a campaign.
That's
so
what they were
that's
saying.
That's the way I'm thinking about it. I'm not accusing because I don't want anybody to sue me.
Right. But that's an excellent point that you make, Anthony, that it was about, you know, there was some talks about potentially Empire, the show that he was on. The ratings were starting to tank. And to keep relevancy, now, allegedly, right? To keep relevancy, he decided to take advantage of a hot button item.
Yes.
Right. And so this, the key thing that you said, though, I thought was interesting. One of the legal things, and this came from Newsweek, this article, and it says that the same facts that occurred in California, I would not see any criminal liability for Don Lemon telling Juicy that the cops did not believe him. This was San Francisco-based attorney Mark Pelta. He said, for instance, does Lemon, this is what I thought was interesting, the comparison that you made. He says, does Lemon have a contract with CNN that prohibits him from sharing such information about a developing story with the subject of the investigation? Was Lemon trying to help Smollett just as Cuomo was trying to help his ex-governor brother?
Okay.
So, listen, folks, you're listening to Coffee and Cash Flow.
Coffee and Cash Flow,
with Stephen and Anthony.
Yes.
We're on WRHI Radio in the heart of York, South Carolina, the award-winning station. Hey, we'll be right back after this commercial break. And we're back.
Yes, we're back.
Back in the building. The movers have officially unloaded our boxes. Anthony, we're still taking out some of the stuff and putting it away.
And it's Christmas time, so we got to pack back out, put up the tree.
So all kind of stuff we've got to do, but we are so excited again, folks. Glad to have you listening, you know, to the, we always call it, it's the number one financial entertainment show in the land. We promise you we will not bore you to death with just statistics and numbers. We're going to add a little bit of a spice, you know, Anthony, to what we do. And I'm excited about being able to bring this back. But I want to go into another one of our segments that, you know, now that we are able to kind of do things on a group thing. And just, guys, you don't realize this. Anthony and I work very, very closely together. So when you do call our office and want help with financial planning and retirement in particular, you can reach out to either one of us. We'll be there to help you. And I'll make sure you get that number now.
Yeah, it's give it to them.
980-216-8487. That is 980-216-8487. We're not going to say, hey, it's a free, no obligation, you know, because, yes, you can converse with us without paying for it. But at some point in time, you know, when people are offering everything for free, be careful. You know, just be mindful of that, because at some point, somebody's got to pay for something.
Yeah, absolutely.
It may not come out of your pocket, but it's going to come from the places that we do business if we decide to do business. So I always tell people there's no such thing as an unbiased opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. somebody's paying something somewhere.
Somebody's paying somewhere. So we're going to be honest with you guys, and this is why we've had the success that we've had, and we've tried to maintain our reputation of just being there to help people and being honest. And I'll say this now. I always tell people this. You invest what you can risk.
Mm.
You insure what you cannot.
Ooh, that sounds good. I love that.
All right. So this is our segment with retirement, your coffee break with Stephen and Anthony.
Yes.
So, Anthony, as we talk about, we just came back from the Jussie Smollett and the Don Lemon conversation. And what was the purpose of what Juicy was doing? He's trying to stay relevant, right? Which means he was trying to do what? Keep his cash flow.
It's about cash flow.
That's why
this show is called Coffee and Cash Flow. He had his coffee. Now it's time for the cash flow.
Time for the cash flow. So Juicy was very much trying to keep his cash flow going allegedly.
That's right.
In terms of, you know, trying to stay relevant in certain situations, this is what we have thought to believe, or allegedly we believe this is what he was doing. And now the evidence is out there. Let's just put it that way. And so we'll see. But at this, we talk about retirement and your coffee break. Retirement is the world's longest coffee break. Anthony, it is the time that, and everybody's break is different. Yeah. I remember when I used to work and they would tell us, you got a 15-minute breaks. Then you got 30 minutes or an hour for lunch, depending on where you worked. Right. And you would look forward to that break.
Yeah.
Right.
You get on. You just get on the job. You get them. When do I get my break?
So many of us, you see where I'm going, right?
Yeah.
Many of us have been looking forward to that break, that break of being able to stop working, to be able to have my money work well enough for me. And so a lot of what folks are realizing during 2020, the pandemic of 2020, and I guess I don't know what we're in now. This is still that. I guess the after effects of pandemic or what? I don't even know at this point because they keep changing the narrative, but that's another story for another conversation.
Yes.
But Anthony, what we see is that, you know, everyone has that magical number or that magical moment where they say, I'm ready to retire.
Yeah.
Right. I need a break.
Or you're forced into retirement, which we'll talk about again.
Right. Or you're forced into retirement. And so we know 62 is an age where you can claim Social Security. You can start. But what many people don't realize, if you were born after 1960 and you retired in, you know, at 62 years of age, you're cutting part of your Social Security benefit by 30-40% possibly.
Yep.
Right? So, yes, you may need it and say, "Yeah, let's claim my Social Security now." And by the way, I am also certified Social Security advisor. So we can help you with claiming strategies as you look about doing your Social Security. We do, you know, workshops and seminars all over, educational workshops. We don't do the dinner seminars, Anthony. I'm going to bring that up. The dinner seminars, I've had clients that come to me and say, hey, yeah, I went to the dinner seminar. I'm like, what dinner? What did you go there for? Oh, I wanted to get some free food.
Hey, you offer people food, they're going to come, okay? why not?
I said, the poor guys have spent all this money on food and dinner seminars.
And they're going to tell them, I'm not interested.
I'm not interested.
You know, it's like my wife and I used to go to those timeshares.
Right.
What are you going to the timeshare for? We get free tickets and free food,
right,
okay?
Right.
I know I'm not going to buy anything. Your wife, you sit down next to her, honey, we're not going to buy anything, okay?
Not buying nothing. And it's a one, and as long as you sit through it, you get the free vacation and
That's everything else.
And so if you sit through the dinner seminar, you will get the plate of food, right?
Yes.
And it's don't get me wrong, it's a way for people to be able to help educate you. And these guys and your young ladies that are doing that, it works for some of them. It's just something that we personally don't do. We don't do the dinner seminars. Now, we'll do a client appreciation event. You know, Anthony, we've had some really, really nice ones.
Yes.
Well, we pay for everything, and, you know, you're already a client, and you can bring folks, and so then those folks want to get that experience of how working with our company and organization, and they're like, oh, this was great. But, you know, I'm not going to do a lot of the dinner seminars, but I go into this only because it's just about, you know, when people are truly moved, and people always ask me, Stephen and Anthony, what's the best clients for you guys? What are the clients that you love to work with? I love working with people who recognize their coffee break can be interrupted.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And they're paying attention to what's going on around them. I mean, today, if you're not looking at what's going on with inflation, with what's going on with taxes, I mean, just gas alone. Imagine, you know, you're retired now. You're not working. There's no steady paycheck coming in. But you have to pay these high gas bills. And it's not just because of who we have in the White House right now. But, it's, you know, this is something that we're going to be, as long as we keep our policies as they are, we're going to keep dealing with these things. So, you know, in your retirement, you don't want to have to figure that out when you get there. You need to have it ready before.
You got to put a plan together.
You have to.
And, you know, I do presentations. I talk about the three P's of retirement, you know, and one of them is obviously planning, of course. You know, you have to have a plan. You have to execute that plan. And then it's also about positioning.
Yes.
Right. Well, how is your money positioned?
Mm.
You know, what is it in? What is your exposure? Are you completely exposed to another market correction? Because if we're in our 60s, and this is what I'm going to talk about, Anthony, about the rule of 100, right? Now, this is just a general rule, folks, when we say the rule of 100. It's not a etched in stone. This is what you should do at all times. But the rule of 100, let's just use it this way, right? We talked about Social Security 62, right? The full Social Security benefit is age 67 for anyone born 1960 and over. That's so all of us is now 67. And that could mean hundreds of dollars additional per month by waiting, right?
Yes.
So what people don't realize, so let's use this rule of no longer 65, right? Unless you are born in the 40s or whatever, you probably already retired, right?
Yep.
Like my dad and your, I think your parents, right? Mm-hmm. Born that. So for the rest of us that are not considered seniors but are baby boomers and generation
millennials
and X's and all the others, right? The folks that are, you know, are at that place, you have to be aware of that number. When I say 100, so let's just use 100, which the number 100, and let's say you're 67, right? So if you take 100 minus 67, you have 33, right?
Mm-hmm.
What their rule of 100 is saying that 33% of your money should be at that point in more investable, riskier investments.
Sure, sure. Right? That's what you keep in your market,
right?
Type of a deal.
The other 67% should be in more conservative, protective places.
Safe money
places, right? And why? Because you have less time to make up another 2008.
That's right.
Right? Because I hear people say, oh, yeah, my money bounced back.
How long did it take you?
Right. Your money didn't bounce back. You lost that time.
Yes.
You can't get back. People don't realize, Anthony, if they lost 50, 30, 40% of your portfolio.
It takes them another 5-10 years to get back.
Yeah. And they don't realize that.
Yep.
So if all of your money is in this sort of more what we call red money, right? Mm-hmm. We have buckets where we talk about blue, green, and red. So when we talk about blue money, and we'll do this more and over and again, guys. We'll talk about blue, green, and red money more impactful in terms of every show. We'll probably mention this as something to be aware of. Blue money is your checking, mm-hmm. your savings, your accessible, you know, liquid
money.
And you're probably going to get maybe 2% or less right on that money.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have what we call green money. You're going to probably make anywhere between 4 to 8%, sometimes more, right? But that's a conservative estimation. Then your red money, you could make 8, 10, 30, 40%. In some cases, maybe even more. But you could also lose.
That's right.
All of that.
Yes.
Right? So if you're not positioned right, your coffee break
can be interrupted,
right? Right? So, and that's a very, very important thing. So you have to ask yourself, how are you positioned? And here's the last P that I didn't mention. You know what this big one is, Anthony? Procrastination.
Mm. Yes, we tend to do that a lot.
We will procrastinate. You'll meet with an advisor or a planner or someone like myself and Anthony, and you'll love everything they said. Oh, that makes sense. Oh, that's great. Man, yeah, we should do that. And then guess what you do? Oh, I'll get with you next month.
Mm-hmm.
Then next month becomes another month.
Yes.
Then another month becomes 6 months. Then the next thing you know, that person is sending you emails and stuff. You finally start blocking the emails.
Hey, well.
You've completely forgot what you guys discussed and what was important.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the key is. And, you know, when you think about it, you take action on it. You know, it's like I'm dealing with customers with life insurance. And, you know, right now with COVID, I mean, it only takes you to get the COVID for the insurance company to say, hey, well, we got to wait 6 months.
Mm.
You know, you could die before
mm-hmm.
you get a policy. And people don't realize this. One of the things I'm telling my customers, if it comes to your mind to buy some life insurance, get it. But in any case, I'm going to digress, because when I get to my section, I'm going to talk a little bit about that.
No, I think it's very, very important, Anthony, what you're mentioning, and it's just procrastination. So remember, guys, the three P's of retirement income is first planning. You have to plan.
Yep.
There's an old saying.
If you fail to plan, plan to fail.
Right, right.
My dad, I grew up on that. My dad told me that. He says, if you fail to plan, plan to fail. It says it a little differently, different places, but same thing.
That was something that we used to see when I started my business in the industry years ago. I think it was on a sign or something when you walked into the office. And I thought that was important. But, Anthony, like I said, I'm going to leave you guys. I know we've covered a lot of stuff in this area, in this segment. But remember, retirement, your coffee break, how do you want to have that break?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want the last 15 minutes? Do you want the last 30 minutes? Do you want it to last a lifetime? Right?
Yes.
That's what we want. We want this to last a lifetime, folks. You don't want to have your retirement break interrupted and when you're now forced to go work again.
Yes, absolutely. Right?
So we'll talk about next week. We'll go into some other what we call freshly roasted tips. We just want you to think about some of those ideas in regards to your retirement. And is your securement where you, your retirement, I should say, where you want it to be? You know, you have to ask that question. Because can you withstand another market correction? But not only market correction, can you withstand another presidential election
that
affects your money as well?
I would say this, and as you guys are listening to us right now, I want you to think about what's been going on. 2020 should be a wake-up call. You know, I tell people, you know, spiritually, I'm not going to get spiritual on you guys on here. But 2020, oftentimes, you know, at the end of 2019, when we went to church, you know, pastors were, you know, they always give these great speeches about, you know, the new year, and they come up with these themes. And of course, 2020 was vision year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because everybody thinks about 2020 as being, perfect vision.
Right. Exactly.
Well, the problem is that. That perfect vision, it was a wake-up call. The virus was a wake-up call for people who are unprepared for what's coming.
That's good.
And God, this whole pandemic has changed the outlook. If you're not thinking about all the things that Stephen just mentioned, about planning, about being prepared, about not procrastinating with these. Did I say the three P's right? Was it?
Yeah,
planning,
yeah.
Was it
planning, positioning.
If you're not positioned yourself and you're procrastinating on taking action, you know, I deal with Medicare clients.
Mm-hmm. Let's go right into your segment. We're going to go right into it before we take another commercial break. This is called More Coffee, Please with Anthony. And then Anthony will kind of highlight a lot of medical issues and healthcare issues that are affecting us as baby boomers and Generation Xers and so forth. And I think this is a very, very important to kind of piggyback off of what we just talked about. This is More Coffee, Please with Anthony.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Stephen, you know, people don't think about their health. Your health is the biggest financial cost you will have in your lifetime, especially as you're starting to think about retirement. And, you know, it's funny because people wait till they turn 65 to start thinking about retirement.
Yep.
No, you need to start thinking about this way in advance. You know, if your job is offering you, you know, to pay a certain part of your 401k, take it. Take the max, okay? But also have an outside plan, which I know Stephen will get into some of those things like Roths and the other type of IRAs that we talk about. He's coming. But, you know, as we talk about health, you know, I really believe that health is something that all of us deal with. Not I believe, I know it is, that we all deal with. You don't know, you know, we think we're young forever. But here's the key is your health is going to be a major cost as you get into your retirement. What are you doing to make sure that it's secure? What I mean by that is, do you have enough money in your retirement to secure your ability to go to the doctors, to go to the hospital? Some people wait, well, we get Medicare. Well, let me explain something about Medicare. Medicare, you get Part A and Part B. It's called Original Medicare, right? Some people, that's all they get. Yes, the government will cover some of the costs. You, of course, are covering some of the costs by paying your one. Right now, I think it's $135 mm-hmm. per month for your Part B coverage. The problem is that just having the Medicare loan, you don't have dental, vision, and all those other items that you can get with an Advantage plan. Now, some of you may have a supplement plan. Here's the problem with a supplement plan. Well, I wouldn't say a problem. I would say the challenge, right? Because supplements are great. You know, after you leave your job and, you know, some of you have jobs that have unions, maybe you left a big company and you have a supplement that you pass on. It's a great supplement. You've used it for years. You can go to the doctors. The problem is that those things increase in cost every year. So these supplements cost you every single year. It increases. So, and it's guaranteed to increase. I was just dealing with a client the other day. She was asking me, well, how can I reduce my cost? And she called the carrier, and the carrier said, we can't decrease your cost because you're on so many medications. And this lady had like 15 or 20 different medications.
Wow.
So as you're getting older, your medication cost goes up. Okay. Yeah. You know, that's one. So you have all these medications that you may not have had to take during your lifetime, but now you have to take them. So your medication's going up. Number two, your cost just to go to the doctors and the hospital is going up. Then you got dental. Your teeth are some of the first things that go away.
Where a lot of health issues start.
Yes.
You don't realize in your mouth.
It really does, because it's where most of your food is going in. Mm-hmm. So as we start going, and you'll hear me talk more during our segments and during our shows about healthcare and how you can start now before you get into those ages that require healthcare, that you can start preparing. We're talking about health savings account. Those type of things, and how you can have money put away that wouldn't cost you as much in retirement. So, Steve, that's just my segment for now. And like I said, when we come back on the next show, I'll go into a little more details how that works into your retirement.
That is awesome stuff. That is More Coffee, Please, with Anthony. I got this from an old commercial. I forgot what it was. It said, more time, Mom, please. It's like More Coffee, Please, with Anthony. It's going to be a healthcare conversation and how that works with your retirement. So every week we'll discuss More Coffee, Please, with Anthony and talk about healthcare and the impact healthcare can have on your retirement. A lot of folks don't realize is that a lot of bankruptcies, the majority of bankruptcies actually happen because of a lack of adequate health insurance.
Brother, you know what? Check your credit report. Right. How many hospital bills, doctor bills are on credit reports?
Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you that, oh, it doesn't affect you as much anymore, but that's not true. It's still there. It's still affecting you. And these bills are still accumulating. So,
yes.
So, folks, you are listening to Coffee and Cash Flow with Stephen and Anthony on WRHI Radio, AM 1340, FM 100.1 you might be listening to. And we're just excited to be back and sharing our perspective on the world of retirement and health and just news in general. And we'll throw in a little sports and some other funny things as we get back. So I'm going to come back as we take a break with a little segment we call Spilled Coffee.
Mm.
And these are segments that talk about lawsuits or just legal ramifications or things that are happening in general that we find interesting. You're listening to Coffee and Cash Flow. This is Stephen.
And this is Anthony.
And we'll be right back.
We'll be back.
We're back.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're back. Hope you guys didn't miss us. And by the way, if you want to be a sponsor on this show, you definitely want to give us a call.
Absolutely.
Because we're looking. Listen, guys, this is going to be a syndicated show all over the country. And currently we started this on ESPN Radio in Charlotte. We're now in the York, South Carolina market. You want to give us a call, 980-216-8487. Yep.
Call us, and you can ask for me, you can ask for Anthony, and we'll make sure we have that happen for you. And if anyone is listening that wants to sit down and have a real conversation about their coffee and about their, I say about their coffee, but you guys know what I'm saying, about your retirement and the break that you want to take, or the interruption of your coffee break. Mm. Because sometimes people think because they're retired and they're already retired that there's nothing that can be done. That's not true.
Yes.
It just depends on your situation, and we'll look at everybody's situation is uniquely different for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to go into a segment, Anthony. Walt spent a lot of time on this, but I think that it's funny. I shouldn't say funny, but it's an interesting topic because a lot of people ask us all the time about Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah, Bitcoin.
Right?
Bitcoin.
And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that. But in this version of Spilled Coffee, Anthony, I remember a few years back we had a big event that Anthony had sponsored about called a Bitcoin Live event where we had all these people show up. It was just really, really well done. And people really, really enjoyed themselves. And we were letting people know that although we're not necessarily offering you Bitcoin as a direct investment, we thought it was a smart move. And Anthony turned out to be a Nostradamus when it came to the Bitcoin prediction, because Anthony got it at 2,000,
yeah,
folks. So he told me about it. I think he got it before it was 2,000, matter of fact.
It was about 1,700.
1,700.
Yeah.
He told me when it was 2,000. So let's just put it this way. We did really well.
Yeah, until the company took all of our money.
Yeah, took all of the money. So that's a
whole nother ball.
That's a whole nother ball game. Took all the money and ran, you know. But unfortunately, that's what you have, unscrupulous people. But so the Spilled Coffee, there's a computer scientist who claims to be Bitcoin's inventor, Satoshi Nakamoto. Well, apparently he must be, or may be, because he won a lawsuit with over $57 billion in crypto fortune.
Yeah. Yeah.
Billion.
I mean, that's because, of course, what he was saying is that the case, what I was reading or understanding, is that they owed his share mm-hmm. with the other scientists was like 1.1 million Bitcoins.
Ooh.
And at the price of Bitcoin being about $60,000, mm-hmm. that's a lot of cash flow right there. So, I mean, it's really, to me, how Bitcoin has really just exploded on the scene. And that has part and parcel to do with the way we're handling the economy today.
Right. Absolutely.
Current administration, with all this inflation, people are looking for safe places that they think they can put their money to. Mm-hmm. Problem is that you got to be careful, because just like we said just a little while ago, you know, we were doing very well with Bitcoin, but you have a lot of companies popping up that are going to take your Bitcoin if you're not careful. And that's something that's a problem. But $57 billion worth of Bitcoin, that's a life changer. That's more than a life changer, right?
That's a complete game changer. And I'm just, and so I'm reading the article. It says the Australian computer scientist who claims he invented Bitcoin was told by a U.S. jury that he had to pay $100 million in damages over claims that he cheated a deceased friend over intellectual property for the cryptocurrency. Jurors in Miami federal court took about a week to reach Monday's verdict following about 3 weeks of trial. The jury rejected most claims against Craig Wright, and the outcome probably won't resolve the debate over whether Wright is the mythical creator of the peer-to-peer currency, or is it Satoshi Nakamoto?
Satoshi Nakamoto.
Nakamoto. Okay. Well, it definitely sounds Japanese. That name sounds Japanese.
Yeah, that's the alias.
That's his alias.
Alias.
Oh.
Yes.
Because I was reading this, I'm like, this is kind of confusing. So he's not using his real name.
No, Satoshi Nakamoto is claimed to be the inventor. So everybody still believes that Satoshi Nakamoto was a invented name, created name. And these guys, actually, this case kind of really highlights on some of that.
Yeah, you're right. You said, I was looking at it right here where it says, the brother of Dave Kleinman, a computer security expert, who actually died in 2013, alleged that the late Florida man worked with Wright to create a mined Bitcoin in its early years. As a result, the plaintiff claimed that the estate was entitled to half of a cache of as many as 1.1 million Bitcoins, worth somewhere around $57 billion, which are thought to be held by Satoshi.
Mm-hmm. Whew. So if the other guy is Satoshi, mm-hmm. okay, this right guy, not the right guy, but the other one.
Right.
Basically, he has to pay that out in the Bitcoin.
Ooh.
If he's holding that wallet. Because remember, When Bitcoin first came out, the stakeholders or the creators, I mean, they had the opportunity to pull out as much Bitcoin as well. I believe they pulled out the first 2 million worth of Bitcoin and held that in a wallet. So if they are the real holders, this is yet to be proven out. And I believe it, you know, that, you know, as I was reading the article too, you know, if that really happens to pass through, boy, that's a nice windfall right there for the family, because the actual original scientist died.
Yeah, it looks like, and that's what they're saying. So it looks like they were represented by a couple of different attorneys, and the estate for Kleinman and David Freeman hailed the verdict as a historical precedent in the innovative and transformative industry of cryptocurrency and blockchain. He went on to say, many years ago, Craig Wright told the Kleinman family that he and Dave Kleinman developed revolutionary Bitcoin-based intellectual property. Despite those admissions, Wright refused to give the Kleinmans their fair share of what Dave helped create. Mm-hmm. So the jury found Wright liable for conversion, the illegal taking of property, and awarded damages to WA&K Info Defense Research, LLC, the entity through which Kleinman and Wright are supposed to have done work together. Do you see this number down here, Anthony? It says, in closing arguments to the jury, Freeman said Wright schemed and connived to steal from his dead best friend with forgery and lies. The estate claimed that in addition to the Bitcoin mining the friends did together, Kleinman helped Wright create the intellectual property behind the early blockchain technology worth $252 billion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot. I mean, that's it's a lot of money, buddy.
Well, it looks like, apparently, I'll read this as we wrap this piece up. It says, Wright contends the claims by Dave Kleinman's brother, Ira, were fabricated. He testified that his friend didn't help him launch the cryptocurrency and argued there was no paper trail showing that they had a partnership. Andros Rivero, Wright's lawyer, depicted the verdict as a complete victory for his client. He says the plaintiffs were claiming $600 billion-plus punitive.
Mm-hmm.
He said in a phone interview after the verdict, this is one of the most resounding victories ever in American litigation. We had crushed them. Their results is less than any settlement offer we ever made to them. This is a total loss for their other side.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's a lot of money passing around there. But I wish I was the one that got Bitcoin when it was pennies.
Right. And there's a lot of people talking about all these different Bitcoins, not Bitcoins, cryptos, but cryptocurrencies that's out there. And I own a few here and there, but when my clients ask me about it, I'm like, just go set up Coinbase and trade whatever you
buy
want.
Buy you a little bit.
Buy you a little bit of something and hold on to it. Because as Anthony made a point of, the dollar is weakening, and it's never been as weak as it's been today. And so with the advent of the cryptocurrency market, and then there's still people that talk about gold and silver and holding those as well. So, and we do work with some clients, Anthony, or I should say a supplier of people who provide real gold and coin silvers that are not just paper, right? These are real tangible assets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're licensed, insured, and bonded. So if someone is ever interested in that as well, we can provide, you know, the gold and silver coins. And some of these are pre-1930. I even have a few. One of them is a 1921-22 piece silver coin, really valuable coin.
I didn't
realize it was that valuable until I looked it up and saw somebody was asking $50,000 for one of their coins. So it's a very viable coin. I'm not saying that's what mine is worth. I don't know, but but that's another hedge against inflation, right?
Well, it's critical too that people do. You know, I'm a very strong advocate for cryptocurrencies. I still feel that people should have some portion of their retirement or whatever it is in some kind of a cryptocurrency. Now, we can't tell you what, but again, you want to be careful too about a lot of the experts out there that are talking, but you want to make sure that you have something, because I will tell you from my vision, my vantage point, I can tell you right now that things are getting to the point where cryptos are going to be very, very important. In fact, let me tell you how important it is. Maybe you know this or you don't. In this last bill, infrastructure bill, that the government just passed, you know, I call these pork bills, and that's what they don't pass this stuff individually because they know most of it won't pass muster. But that's a whole nother story by itself. They included a new reporting strategy in that infrastructure bill for cryptocurrencies. So now they are going to require by 2023 or 24, one of those years, in this bill, they're going to require exchanges to report every single cryptocurrency that somebody owns on their exchange. Now, not to say that some of the cryptocurrencies weren't already doing this, but this is part of their tax strategy to get more money out of your pocket. So again, there are some strategies for opening a corporation, opening a business, let a business own it, pay corporate taxes on some of your gains and disassociate. But again, I'm not an attorney, just a disclaimer. But like I said, if you call us, we may be able to help discuss you and get you pointed in the right direction.
Oh, that's an excellent, excellent point. And folks, again, that number is 980-216-8487. Fig Wealth Partners is the organization. But we're very, very, we're a resource. You know, we have relationships with folks, you know, that if you, we don't necessarily do it. But if you're looking for some of those other helps, like Anthony said, we can kind of point you in the right direction and get you off and running to where you need to be. You know, so, Anthony, I want to shift gears real quickly and just give a little quick highlight of some things that affects our community and under our Carolina Caffeine. So Carolina Caffeine, we kind of go into what is affecting the York, you know, South Carolina, Charlotte areas, news that are happening in our areas here locally. And so we did, there is a discussion, I guess, with York County Park Projects, River Trails, Boat Access, and a new dog park. So it says in February, York County officials will dive deep into the possibility of new county parks departments, which is interesting, right? And it says that all projects headed by the county without a designated parks and recreations department, similar to what cities and towns like Rock Hill, Fort Mill, Tigaque, Clover, and York have, they're going to have a department will be, it says more here. I think I skipped past his name because this, you know how these computers always like to skip down when you're doing so. So it's Mike Moore. On Monday, this past Monday night, Assistant County Manager Mike Moore updated York County Council on an array of ongoing park projects that would include nature preserves, trails, boat launches, and even a new dog park. So this could be pretty exciting. He says, for now, works continues throughout the growing list of county recreation sites. He says, these are exciting things, and we're very blessed to have this touch all areas of the county. This is from City Council Chairwoman Christy Cox. She said the biggest park project is Catawba Bend Preserve, which is a planned 1,900-acre nature preserve on the Rock Hill side of the Catawba River. And a master plan was approved and adopted. An initial engineering contract should be ready for first phase work in January. This is exciting news. And so this includes the park arrival, the gatehouse entry, the river gate, the greenway, and the hiking trail systems. And this is what Moore, Mike Moore has also stated. It says the project still needs utilities and telecommunication plans. The county will pursue grants, branding, and marketing for park features, and some former residents on the site will have to be removed with demolition expected next year. So be on the lookout for a lot of upgrades and a lot of things happening around the Catawba Bend, Anthony. And the council should be reviewing this again in January. So this should be interesting to see what's going to happen in our community. Folks, we're going to take a quick short break, and then we're going to wrap this show up with our remaining probably 5 or 6 minutes or so of being able to converse with you guys. But we're excited once again. You're listening to Coffee and Cash Flow with Stephen
and Anthony.
And we'll be right back. And we're back.
Yes, we're back.
Well, we're taking our own coffee breaks, aren't we?
Exactly.
We're taking our coffee breaks, but we sure hope you folks have been enjoying the show. We've been having a wonderful time. We're just reminiscing and so excited to be in the studio again instead of doing Zooms and sitting the show. We're now able to get back in the studio and do this thing the way we've always envisioned. And so, you know, just for the new folks, we always have certain segments on that we'll bring here or there. They'll be on the show. Some weeks they may not be there, but Sports Bucks with Steve. I say Sports Bucks. We just typically like to look at what's happening in the world of sports and as it relates to money, right? As we talk all things money on Coffee and Cash Flow. So the NFL salary cap is expected to hit $208 million in 2022. The NFL salary cap is set to get back on track in 2022, and spending should be back as well with another anticipated jump in the cap for 2023. Sources say next season's cap is expected to reach the $208.2 million maximum agreed upon by the NFL and the NFL Players Association in May. The final numbers has not been officially announced, but it's expected to be revealed at the NFL's annual labor seminar next week. The salary cap this season is $182.5 million, which was down from $198.2 million in 2020. But much higher than it would have been had the league and union not agreed in August 2020 to spread an anticipated multi-billion dollar revenue shortfall from the COVID-19 pandemic over several years. So players are still paying back what amounted to a low interest loan that allowed players to continue making full salaries and bonuses in 2020 despite empty stadiums. An agreement is set to a ceiling on the 2022 cap, expedite that repayment process. So there's going to be a lot of big money deals and extensions still was able to be done, and expected a lot more to be done now because of the cap being a lot larger. And there was a emphasis on lowering that cap, obviously, because nobody's out there watching you play.
Well, I don't know how they made it through, and 2020 was an interesting year. I know that, and we'll talk about this probably in another show. I know the baseball.
Oh yeah,
they're on strike.
Major League Baseball. Are they on strike?
Yeah, they're on strike. So, in any case, we'll talk about that. But I'm ready to, I'm not ready to close the show yet. But it's that time, so
yeah, we're getting close. So folks, if you're listening to this show for the first time, there's always a conversation that we have. It's called "What's in Your Cup," and the "What's in Your Cup" is a segment that we like to bring about where people do, and I'm going to say they do interesting things.
Yes, they do.
So this is not an attack. Let me make sure I clarify this and give a disclaimer. This is not an attack on religious beliefs or any sort of, you want to give to your organizations, have at it. We are both very much believers, probably more so than you guys even know through this first conversation. So this is not what this is. But we like to bring a little levity to these shows sometime, and then sometimes it's at the expense of whoever. Earlier was Juicy Smollett. And now, apparently, Anthony, a plumber who found a missing $600,000 inside of a wall at Joel Osteen's Houston's megachurch has been given a reward of $20,000. The money had reportedly gone missing in 2014 as Lakewood Church gave Crime Stoppers in Houston $20,000 as a reward after $200,000 in cash and $400,000 was taken from the church's safe. So the plumber, who only is being identified as Justin, must be Juicy's cousin, called into Houston 10.3 The Bull to reveal that he found 500 envelopes stashed in a wall inside the church last month. The man stated, "There was a loose toilet in the wall, and we removed the tile," or "they removed the tile," he says, "and went to go to remove the toilet, and I moved some insulation away, and about 500 envelopes fell out of the wall, and I was like, oh, wow." In another interview, he revealed that he was upset that he had not heard from the church following his discovery in good deed. After attending Olsen's services this past Sunday, he stated, "I wanted to hear from Joel, say, Justin, what you did was right. We understand what you did and what you could have done," he added. "I feel like at this point I should have heard something. I'm just a little upset." Justin, you found 500 envelopes. I might have found 350. I'm just saying, guys, it's a little levity. But, Justin, on behalf of Coffee and Cash Flow, I would like to know, What's in your cup? Anthony, this has been fun. Any last words as we take this cruise ship on out of here?
Well, I just want to say, make sure and call us, 980-216-8487. Let's talk about the retirement. Let's talk about your health. Let's get those things in order so you can have an awesome, awesome new year.
Absolutely. On behalf of myself and Anthony, we always leave you with a moment to think about, and I will say this. Procrastination is the killer of dreams.
That's it.
Hey, God bless you guys. Have a great, wonderful holiday. We'll be back next week. We'll see you later.
See you later.